Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Backpack Broadcasting continues to bring you the best original sports content, but now you can get more of the content you love. For as little as $3 a month, you can get access to bonus content, including behind-the-scenes footage and interviews from the Sports Walk, Sideline Stories, or the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast. All this exclusive content comes via Patreon. There are tiered levels of patronage, and each Backpack Broadcasting patron receives exclusive perks. Your support helps Backpack Broadcasting create more of the original content that you love. Visit Backpack Broadcasting's Patreon page and become a patron today.
What's good, everybody? Dexter Henry, Brian Fonseca here. Ain't Hard to Tell podcast, episode 227, coming to you live. It's been a while since we talked to everybody. Brian's been busy mourning his Heat being out of the playoffs and then not winning the championship. So, you know, he's crying some tears from that. I was doing a little traveling, was out on the West Coast for a bit, came back. Brian, how you doing, man?
We're gonna get to who was upset in a second because of the draft last night and some things that went down.
Why do you think I would be upset? It's I don't carry around angry energy. I'm not upset.
We'll get to it in a second.
Oh, I think confused might be more of the word you're looking for.
Well, and we will get to who the Heat drafted at some point in the show.
Oh yeah. Okay. I see what you did there. I am upset about that. Yeah, I'm upset about that.
But we'll get to I will say to people watching and people who will watch this, like, we're, you know, not being negligent or whatever the case may be, but we're obviously, you know, with things going on regarding Roe v. Wade, et cetera, et cetera. We are going to try and talk about this, but just know that we're not ignoring that. And I've posted some stuff that you can try to, like, look at that should be helpful in terms of combating that because we're going through some tough times in America right now. But we're going to try to stick to some basketball here because a lot of shit happened yesterday with the NBA draft. Dex, we were both working a lot. You were working all night doing the SNY New York Post shift, covering it from that perspective. I was hosting FanDuel's NBA draft live stream. Then I hopped on the Five Reasons one for a little bit after. Got there in time to see the Heat pick and our reaction, which was posted. And a lot of fun stuff. A lot of fun content coming out. We've been busy, but we're here. And I'm looking forward to a great show because our guys are back. We're going to talk about some NBA.
Yes, guys are back. Both of these guys came on with me, held it down, on New York Post, SNY, stuff for me to talk about the draft. And I'll have to tell our first guest, which was Gerard Hector. Gerard and I were in, I don't want to say a pickle, but it was a very interesting, fluid situation. Because Gerard and I were supposed to talk about a look at all the lottery picks, and then that switch, we need to talk about the Knicks, and we'll get to that. And Gerard, it was last minute, but Gerard and I, we got it done. Gerard Hector of True Hoop, 7 Footers Podcast, he's with us here. Gerard, what's up, man?
I'm chilling. I want to read something to you real quick. I don't know if you saw the statement from Leon Rose, Knicks president.
Wait, they actually talked?
Yeah, well.
Hold on.
Last night or just now?
Just now.
Hold on. Before we do that, let us introduce our other guest, my man, the black Blackatologist, Jamal Murphy, who came with me on SNY The Post last night to talk about the top three picks. He also did a dope video with me last Sunday about Juneteenth. Murph, what's up, man? How you doing?
What up? Glad to be here, of course.
Nice. I like it. Now, I would talk. I'm wearing the Knicks shirt, and I'm not sure how much longer I might be wearing a shirt like this. But the Knicks did a lot last night. We'll get to that. But Gerard has some breaking news for us. And Leon Rose actually spoke in a statement.
Leon Rose released a statement. Knicks president, last night we made three trades involving draft picks, which resulted in increased financial flexibility and additional draft capital moving forward. We now have a total of 22 picks, 11 in the first round and 11 in the second round over the next 7 years. We have the ability to be active in free agency as well as in the trade market. Our focus will remain to be strategic and thoughtful in our team building, doing it the right way, while feeding off of the momentum from the end of last season and prioritizing our player development program. Thank you to Knicks fans for your continued support.
Dex,
as a Knicks fan, I mean, you got to feel great when you hear that.
Dex, I don't think it's that bad. Whoever's just listening to this and catching the audio later, Dex is just staring into his camera.
It isn't that bad. Look, I will say
he wants to rip off his shirt like Bam Adebayo at the end of Game 7.
22. But by the way, you know how much strength you have to rip an NBA jersey? Like, that's just – all right, shout out to Bam. So 22 picks in 7 years, that is a lot of capital. Now, you have to turn that into something. Yes, I realize that. But 11 first-rounders, 11 second-rounders, that's good. Of course, some of them got protections on them, all that, we know, whatever. You cleared up some cap space for some flexibility. So we're going to talk about who you're going after because I got some thoughts about that. The part that makes me interested, if I'm a Knicks fan, is continue to focus on our player development program. If it was a press conference, follow-up, excuse me, Mr. Rose, by player development, what exactly do you mean? Because R.J. Barrett has regressed in his development year over year.
I don't think he did last year.
Yeah, he wasn't as good. He wasn't as good at the end of last year as he was.
He picked it up toward the end.
Toward
the last few months.
Not where he should be for year three in his career, right? He should be doing a little bit more of this, and it was kind of like, wah! Obi Toppin. I see flashes of brilliance from this guy, but how come he don't ever get on the floor? What is his player development profile and program like? Quentin Grimes, Sims, Quigley, the list goes up. Cam Reddish, you did all this work to get Cam Reddish. What's up with that guy?
Well, he got hurt. I mean, to be fair,
my point being, I would want to ask Leon, tell me more about your player development program. Because I have questions.
I think that's fair. I think, look, there's part of, I'm trying to catch my words here. There's part of me that's like, this is what you want to hear from the team. You want to hear about the player development. You want to hear that this is what they're committed. And if they're, I'm going to save this for a little bit later. If this is what they're focused on, then that's it. That's cool. If this is what they're focused on, and if this is what they're trying to do, shed salary and necessarily get to a place where they can just play the young kids. I'm with that. I'm fine for that. If this is same old Knicks and they're just trying to chase name free agents that don't fit, I'm not with it. That's what it comes down to for me. That's really what it comes down to for me. I don't know how y'all feel about it. We'll get into that more a little bit later. That's really what it feels comes down to for me. I mean, like, but Gerard, the thing is, do you believe that? Like, that's really what it comes down to. You talked about asking the questions, and I'm in agreement with you, which is a fair question to ask, but do you believe that they
have to have the players? And the fact that I don't believe it is because you did a statement. You didn't even hold a press conference. A statement. I mean, what are we actually doing here? Look, if I was a Knicks fan, I would feel some kind of way. Luckily for me, I am not. So,
yeah, well, I think the other thing, too, is like, you know, there's a lot going on in terms of the Knicks and how they've been able to allow access in terms of being having Rose speak. We haven't heard anything from Rose. And this statement tells me they know they were getting ripped in the media, that they didn't have any talks. They were supposed to have availability today, and I don't think that happened at all, right? Most people are able to talk to the GMs or the owners about the picks after that. That didn't happen at all. So, yeah, who knows what's going on with the Knicks? We apologize for any of the background noise you might have heard. We are not going to say who it was.
I was dying. I was like,
oh. That was not part of the program. We're gonna get to the Knicks and that statement by
Leon Rose. I just had to put that out because it just popped out. So I was like, we gotta address it.
Yeah, we'll get to it. I want to start at the top of the draft last night, right? Because it was interesting. Because this also affected a video Murph and I did to take people behind the scenes. We had seen Woj tweet out early that it was going to be, Jabari Smith, then it was going to be Chet Holmgren and Paolo Banchero going 1-2-3 in that order. Obviously, that didn't happen. Paolo Banchero went first, and then Jabari went third. So that changed some things around with something Murph and I was going to do. But is anybody shocked? I know, Murph, you told me last night you weren't shocked about Paolo going number one, and you think that he is a good fit with the Magic, correct?
Yeah, I don't know about the fit. I thought maybe Smith is a better fit, but in terms of talent-wise and those three guys, I thought it was close. It could have went either way. You're kind of splitting hairs in terms of the potential of all three, except I think Chet, by far, to me personally, has the most potential. But I thought all three were worthy of being considered for the number one pick, so it's not shocking that any three of them would be picked, but the fit is something different. But I mean, you could always make room for certain guys. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Brian, did you, because you were doing the live draft show last night, did you like this pick for Orlando?
It was surprising to me because all the intel for, I guess, 6 weeks or so prior was that Paolo was not going to go number one, that it was more of a race between Jabari and Chet Holmgren at some point, and then Paolo ended up sneaking up in there, especially in the last 48 hours. So to me, it was pretty surprising because all along, I expected Orlando to go with Chet Holmgren or Jabari Smith. And then it looked like Chet Holmgren was going to go number three. And then, in fact, he did. No, he went number two. And then it looked like Jabari all of a sudden went number three. And that was something that was surprising to me because, to me, the safest guy was Jabari Smith at number one. I think it's hair splitting. I think it's all based off of preference or whatever the case may be. Me personally, I would have taken Jabari number one overall because I like his upside as sort of a Rashard Lewis on offense, a Jared Jackson Jr. type on defense, I think. He can blend a little bit of that. He's kind of what you would want in a four nowadays. But I think all three guys are great, and I think, Jaden Ivey is good too. Like, it's rare that we have three prospects where I'm like, yeah, I could see them all. I mean, four prospects where I'm like, yeah, I could see them all being very good. But Paolo going number one was shocking. And to see the odds sort of shift like that in the 48 hours leading up to it, I think was pretty informative, evidently.
So, yeah, it really was. What did you make of this, Gerard, in terms of that pick?
First, shouts to Brian for shouting out my guy, Tripp. For me, I was a little bit not surprised, the wrong word, because I think you could have gone. I was fine with either one of them going number one. So it didn't matter to me in that sense who went number one. What I thought was more interesting was Orlando holding their cards close to the vest, right? Everybody was like, oh, they're taking Jabari, who I would have taken Jabari first too. But Paolo is, I understand that pick. It's like, as I said, either one of them could have gone first, either one of the three. But they kept their cards close to the chest, so much so that Jabari was a little sad and a little messed up when he was like, okay, Paolo went first. Wait, now I'm going next. Wait, then Chet? And you could tell Jabari was like, what the fuck is going on? And it wasn't until he got the calls we saw on the broadcast, he got the phone call and you knew it was Houston, no one's anything, but you can just tell because all of a sudden his countenance changed. You can see some relief because there was stress on his face. Like, wait a minute, I ain't going in the top two. Where am I sliding to? And I thought that was interesting in terms of Orlando, again, playing the cards close to the vest. They didn't work out Paolo officially. They didn't have a meeting with him officially, like, in a one-on-one setting like that, besides that, the sort of normal processes that everybody goes through. That, I thought, coupled with the fact that everyone and their mother knew for weeks the Knicks were going after Jaden Ivey. I thought that was just a very interesting contrast in, we didn't know this guy was going first. Meanwhile, the janitor down the hall knows the Knicks want Jaden Ivey. Like, I just, I thought that was just really interesting how that all played out. And, look, I think this is a competitive league. I think Jabari, whatever slights you got to use, the Jordan meme, I took that personally. Whatever you need to motivate you, because this league, listen, there's some motherfuckers in this league. If you're going to make it, you got to work. So if that's what you need to get an extra chip on your shoulder, fine by me. I don't care.
Yeah, the Knicks. Oh, we'll get to the Knicks with Jaden Ivey in a second, too. We got comments. See, this is why we can't have nice things. Knicks clearing cap space. You know what that means. And guess what? This person, Johnny, who comments, has to say, your boy Hotep Handel. I'm like, nah, we don't need that. We don't need that.
I mean,
please take them. Please take them.
I mean, we don't need that. Come on, Murph. You know, we don't want that in our lives, man. We don't need that. We don't. In fact, send them to the Heat. How about that? How about we send them to the Heat? How about that?
B would lose his godforsaken mind if Kyrie ended up
in the Heat. I might have to like not do stuff with 5RSN. There are Heat fans talking themselves into it though, because they want to have a pure hoop conversation. And it's like, oh,
we ain't doing that.
Convince him to sign for the mid-level. And it's like, you motherfuckers are smarter than this.
Like, no, you don't got a pure conversation you can have with Kyrie. Pure lunacy. You want to talk about pure lunacy? Yeah, we're talking about Kyrie. Yeah. That's a pure conversation we can have.
Posting the clip of Jimmy Butler saying that he, like, they asked him at the All-Star game in 2017, who would you want to have on your team? And his answer was Kyrie from a stylistic standpoint. But this was before Kyrie went off the wall.
Even forget that, B. Every basketball player in the NBA of like that ilk, Jimmy, whoever, will tell you, oh, Kyrie. They'll tell you.
Durant,
oh, yeah.
They'll
all tell you. Now, ask them, do you want him as a teammate? That answer might be different. They'll say, oh, no, he's bad. We playing pickup on the street. We go to Blacktop, all the NBA guys? Oh, yeah, they picking him. Right. Now, you want to come back to the NBA and want them on your roster? Yeah, chill. I don't know about that.
That was 2017. I'm not sure he's saying the same thing now. That's the thing.
That's less than a year after he hit the shot in Game 7. But the Kyrie conversation is just exhausting.
We will talk a little Kyrie.
I need him to go to the Lakers already and let's be done with it.
That would be nice, and it would make the Lakers more entertaining.
They already threw a three-ring circus.
First take was something before. Wait until if that happens, if that reunion happens.
Here's the thing: you're gonna talk about the Lakers are gonna be in the A block every single show. They may not
be the second straight year. Yes,
it's gonna be like what? Why are we talking? Anyway,
yeah, y'all gonna see. I'm gonna be texting Brian like, man, I'm tired of doing these videos for the post to talk about Kyrie again. I mean, that's kind of what I did last year anyway, but I'll be tired of that. That's for sure. When we look at the top three of the draft, does everybody and how it played out? We talked about Paolo going number one, Chet number two, Jabari number three. Gerard, you felt like Jabari actually got into a good situation, and I actually would like to think that he probably is happier that or not. So the total question is, do we think everybody's actually in a good situation where they can thrive?
Yes and no. So with Jabari, look, there, Markel Fultz, like in Cole Anthony, I don't like what's his name, Bible dude, Jonathan Isaac, I don't know,
Brian's boy, yeah,
I don't know what is happening. And you know, actually, I feel bad for Wendell Carter Jr. if I'm being honest, like, because I'm like, damn, that boy nice. But anyway, so Orlando remains to be seen. OKC, the dirty secret there is that the owners are cheap as hell over there, right? So Sam is on this constant, like, we're going to just get draft picks and whatever. I like the idea of Shea and Giddy and Chet. But, yo, Shea is eventually going to get to a point where he's like, we got to win, man, or I'm going to start raising holy hell. And I don't know if this team is ready to start winning. I mean, they should be, but are they going to is the question. As far as Jabari goes, look, I think Steven Silas is a great coach. I'm very curious to see how he coaches them up. I said this in our text chat last night. Oh, poor Jabari. He ain't getting no shots up on the team with Jalen Green. I mean, right? Like, that dude takes all the shots, right? So that's my fear with him. Can Steven Silas get that squad to be like, yo, Jalen, it ain't about you scoring. It's about us scoring. And it's hard to get young guys to get on that train early. So, we'll see.
Murph, you like where all these guys landed? You think it's good? You think it's good for them?
Well, I think Bancaro could have fit in anywhere of these those three places. So I think he'll be fine in Orlando. I love the fit for Chet. I think it's a situation where OKC, they're gonna give him what he needs. They're gonna coach him up. They're gonna give him time. There's no pressure at all. They'll figure out what to do with his weird type of talent because they have other weird guys. They're used to this. So I think it's perfect, absolute perfect situation for Chet. You know, as far as Smith, it's the same thing as Gerard was saying. Like, you know, I'm just not sure what the fit is. I think, you know, I think ultimately he'll be fine. You know, the talent will shine through. He's a hard worker. He's going to make it work. But the situation in Houston is, to me, is not a good one. I like Silas as a person, and I'm not sure as a coach yet. And he's in a tough situation. Mm-hmm. We don't know what kind of support he really has. Is he going to be there longer than this year if the team doesn't make so-called improvement? Mm-hmm. You know, whatever mm-hmm. that means. We know they're not going to win a bunch of games, but what you know, what are they really expecting? Silas is not the most. He's not like the old school coach. You know, rah rah. Will his personality fit with the team? Will he be able to get kids to do what they need to do? Who's the point guard? I have no clue. I was just looking at the roster. Who's getting guys the ball?
John Wall.
So I think Augustine's still there.
Jalen's getting himself the ball all the time.
You know who's there? You know who's there? Schroeder. All right.
That's right. He's a free agent now. He's a free agent.
This team. Well, I mean, I don't know, but he's there right now. So I don't know what's going on there. So I am worried about Smith this season. But it doesn't, you know, but the rookie, it doesn't really matter as long as he progresses on it. You know, he gets better. He works hard and all that kind of stuff. But
no bad habits. He can't get no bad habits there. You don't want that.
Well, you know, good luck with that. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, to me, I mean, Chet's in the best situation.
Yeah, you think Chet's in the best situation. Brian, how'd you feel about the top three draft picks? They all landed in good spots?
I kind of agree with Murph, and I'm going to get back to OKC in a second. I'm intrigued by Paolo in Orlando because, while I don't think Orlando's in a situation where they absolutely need to win now, they need to show improvement. Otherwise, what are they actually doing? And they have some players that I like. They have Cole Anthony there. Jalen Suggs, we'll see. Oh,
I forgot about
Franz
Jalen.
Wagner. Franz Wagner had a strong rookie season last year. You're throwing Paolo into the mix, and you have to figure out if Mo Bamba, if you're going to actually sign and trade him for compensation or something along those lines. And then, you know, we'll see what happens with Wendell Carter Jr. Is Jonathan Isaac ever going to play? Is Markelle Fultz going to be, you know, viable? Orlando's got some questions there, but I think they could potentially make something work. And then with Houston, the Jalen Green, Jabari Smith comparison is interesting to me. That's something I'm actually going to want to watch with Şengün there. They have some players I like, mm-hmm. Jayshon Tate. But, you know, they're going to be young, and they're going to be a team that we're going to be talking about probably in the top three again next year's draft. But with OKC, I mean, look, I think they're a year or two away from having to really, like, actually take some of these draft picks and get somebody. And I'm assuming that they keep Shai Gilgeous-Alexander because they should at this point. But you have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander on that team. You have Josh Giddey. Lou Dort is still there for now. He may or may not get traded, but for now he's there. And you have Chet Holmgren. And you have with Josh Giddey, Chet Holmgren, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. They got some other players in the draft too that are interesting. And they also have guys like Trey Mann. We'll see what he does going forward, taking another step. Poku, I don't know what he's going to be. Usman Ziang is somebody that they got yesterday late in the lottery, who I think is an interesting piece. And Cameron Rich Williams is still there. So I think a couple of those guys might get moved, but and Jermichael Green is on that team for now as well. So you have a couple guys that might get moved, but I think OKC is actually an interesting team. I don't think they're going to be like a play-in team or anything like that this season. I think they're probably a year away from challenging from that. But I think soon they're going to have to make a move where they're actually going to get somebody, a star-ish or like a high-level starter or whatever the case may be, to pair up with these guys and actually try to make some sort of a run at making the playoffs.
And let me just add to the Orlando piece. You know, I like Mosley. I like him as a coach. Brian just mentioned the pieces they have. It's funny. I was listening to an interview with the GM Hammond this morning, and he was mentioning his team. He didn't even mention Mo Bamba. He was talking about his front line. He was talking about his front line of Wagner, the kid from Duke you just mentioned. What's his name? Big man,
Wendell Carter Jr.
Yeah, Carter Jr. and Banchero, and you know he really didn't mention Cole Anthony either. He mentioned Suggs, and didn't mention really Cole Anthony. So that was very interesting to me. So I don't think really Cole will be in the picture, and I don't think Bamba will be in the picture that much longer.
What are these people even doing? Does this team even know what they're doing? That's the question. I say no.
This team, too. I'm not sure they know what they're doing, but who knows? You know who looked like they knew what they were doing last night? The Detroit Pistons. They look like they knew what they were doing. Pistons got Jaden Ivey. We were all texting last night in the group chat. Murph, I know you were very high on Ivy and his ability to play in the backcourt with Cade Cunningham and how that'll make him better, and he'll even be pretty good playing off the ball. You and I were texting about that, and I think that's a lot to do. Look, Gerard said it. It was the worst-kept secret. Everybody knew that the Knicks wanted Jaden Ivey. I wanted Jaden Ivey. I wanted him the whole time to be on the Knicks. Did not happen, okay? And I was like, I didn't think the Pistons might take him, but this does make a lot of sense to me. I want to say this. I agree with Murph a lot that Cade, who's fantastic with the ball in his hands and his playmaking ability, now Ivy doesn't have the pressure of having the ball in his hands all the time, can play off of Cade. Then they'll go and get Jalen Duren. We'll get to that later. The Pistons had themselves a good night. I think Ivy is a stud. I think Ivy's going to be really good. I think he's going to have more space in the NBA than he did at Purdue, obviously, and I think it's going to let his game flourish. There's a lot of Ja Morant comparisons. I see some of that. I think people need to chill and pump the brakes on that a little bit too. I think he's got his own flair and style, but I just like his game. Like, sometimes can we just look at somebody and just say, yo, their game looks dope. I think it could work well in the NBA, and that's fine. I like this game, guys. I think this is a good pickup for the Pistons before we even get to what else they did. Everybody else excited about this? And Brian, are you excited about the Pistons' future? Like, how excited are you about what the Pistons can do here? I got some people, like, I think my man Greg is watching the show. Some other people think the Pistons can make the playoffs next year. I'm like,
I think they can make the play-in potentially because I do. Okay. So they got Jalen Duren, and that whole thing was confusing because it was like, wait, where is he going? Charlotte needs a center. They got him. That makes sense. But wait, he's going to the Knicks. And it's like, okay, maybe Mitchell Robinson's gone. And then all of a sudden we find out that the Knicks just dumped him and Kemba Walker to get some future draft picks, which we'll get to later. But I think the Pistons, you know, I think less so that they're going to challenge for the play-in this year. I think it'll look that way, and then maybe they'll fall off at the end and finish like 11th or 12th in the East or something like that. We still have to wait and see like what teams do in free agency. So let's not even go that far. But to have a core of Cade Cunningham and Jalen Duren, and of course Jaden Ivey, who none of us thought he was going to fall five, which I found very interesting. He didn't work out with the Kings and didn't seem all that thrilled at the possibility of going to the Kings. So the Kings, and I don't blame him, by the way. I wouldn't want to go to Sacramento Kings either if I was that high of a pick. And they got Keegan Murray, and Jaden Ivey gets to go to one of the places he reportedly wants to. And oh, by the way, they still have Sadiq Bey on their team, who I think is going to have an interesting role with all those other guys on the team. Before they got Jalen Duren, I was throwing out the possibility that's probably a DeAndre Ayton team. And now I don't know where DeAndre Ayton's going to go. Maybe that's where he ends up with the Charlotte Hornets. But, you know, as of right now, I like what the Pistons are doing. I feel like of these teams we're talking about, they're closer to a play-in team than I think the rest of them are. Oklahoma City is probably right there, but I think Detroit is they're doing something, and we'll see if they add the right veterans in free agency. Like, maybe there's something to that, but the Eastern Conference is going to be very, very difficult. So I'm not going to say that they're quite that yet, but they're going to be fun to watch for sure.
Yeah, Troy Reaver's made some. We got to give Troy Reaver some credit because he's made some smart moves, even trading Jeremy Grant last week. But I mean, good trade for Portland too. They absorbed that into the $21 million trade exception, and that's fine. But making the moves and now building around this young core, which I would like to see some other teams do. Knicks, we're looking at you. Murph, I want you to talk more about it because you're the college basketball guru here. But what do you think Jaden Ivey really can do on the next level here in the NBA?
Oh, I mean, you know, I watched him a lot at Purdue, and he was at his absolute best in the open court. So you got to figure you get more open court play in the NBA. You know, I love college basketball, but college basketball is a different game. You know, the defenses can scheme against you. They call charges much more often, all that kind of stuff. So now he'll have more space. And to me, he is in a terrific situation. I mean, I don't even think he realizes he should be so happy that he went to Detroit because of Cade Cunningham. When you have a guy like Cade Cunningham who is like, he's next level unselfish. He's a next level winner. He's a next level passer. Okay. So all those faults that Ivy has, like, you know, he can be, he's not sure when to go hard, when to slow up, when to shoot the J, when to drive to the basket. Cade is going to make that easier for him. Cade is going to give him the ball in the perfect situations to take advantage of all that athletic ability and talent and speed that he has. And he does have Ja Morant's type athletic ability, like that wow stuff. Like, wait, what? Did I just see that? Was he really just that fast? Did he – like, that was ridiculous. Like, he has that kind of athletic ability, almost like a you know, and I'm saying he's not gonna – he's not – I can't say he's going to be Dwayne Wade, but he has that kind of, like, that flash. Like, the reason he, the reason he got that,
I like that comp.
The reason he got that nickname Flash, you know what I'm saying? Because he's so fast, you know, with the ball, without just flying up the court, can dunk on you. Now, I'm not sure he has the Dwayne Wade will and determination yet. We'll see, because that's really what makes a great player. So, you know, so we'll see what he actually has as far as metal. But I mean, but I'm saying whatever he has, Cade Cunningham's gonna get most of that out of him. So I think. I mean, it is a blessing in disguise to him to go play with a kid like that. And talking about Detroit as a team, remember, Detroit played very, very well at the end of last season. They played everybody tough.
They did.
I was betting on Detroit big time at the end of the season because they were covering spreads. and I realized it's the NBA, it's the dog days. You know, they might have been catching teams who were sleeping on them, which is true. But they, you know, they were starting to come together. Don't forget, I don't know why I'm blanking on names today, but the kid from Villanova is still there.
Sadiq Bey.
He's very, very good in his own right. They have pieces. So I think that I think they could be a play-in team. It's not going to be easy, but I think they'll vie for the play-in.
Gerard, are you buying Detroit as a play-in team now they have Ivy? Are you willing to bet on that?
Detroit basketball, right? Everybody getting all amped. I will say this about Detroit. Hell of a draft by Troy Weaver, the GM of the Pistons. You know, with the NBA as a copycat league, we always say that. I feel like a team like Detroit watched what Cleveland did last year and was like, oh, that could be us.
Yeah.
Right? Like this is what they say. Like, I see myself in that team. Right, like they have similar guys, similar pieces, whatever, what have you. I will say this: it's very interesting because Brian brought up a name, DeAndre Ayton, and I had heard some stuff around Ayton being someone they're targeting as well. Of course, went with Jalen Dern, which I'm not sure I would have went that high for him. I thought, you know, the other Duke big man, Mark Williams, is someone that fell to 15 to the Hornets, if I'm not mistaken. You know, I thought he was really good, and defensively, I thought he could be something really special. It'll be interesting to see what they do. I love the Cade Ivy pairing. I think everybody's correct on that. What Murph and what Brian said. The interesting thing now is the timeline. Okay, do you keep Durin and say, because you got Sadiq Bey, as everybody mentioned, right? And Isaiah Stewart. Do you stay on this young kid timeline we're on right now? Because if you get someone like Ayton, who is how old? Ayton 23, 24, somewhere in that range, right? Ayton's already been to an NBA finals, right? He's an established already 2010 type of guy. Well, if you get him, what does that mean for the development of Ivy? And Cade's got to develop too still, right? And through these guys, what does that mean for them? I'm not saying, oh, if you get DeAndre Ayton, that means those guys are not going to develop. I'm just saying on a timeline perspective, is that the right move? Or do you say, man, forget it. Let's just roll with Durin, and we're going to take our time with that. See, it's hard for teams, especially owners, they get itchy and trigger fingery, right? It's like, no, come on, make that move, and now we can get on. It's like, okay, you could, but at the cost of what? What is the long-term effect? Sometimes you get lucky, you catch lightning in a bottle, like Cleveland did last year. I mean, Evan Mobley was perfect because you pair him with Jared Allen, boom, that's our defensive anchor. We're straight, right? It works. But I don't know if that's necessarily what Detroit can count on this year. And do they get too amped and try to get that to happen now? Maybe, maybe not. It'll be interesting to see.
I love that you brought up Durin, because I actually had him high on my board. I had him like 8 on my board. Just, I mean, the physical attributes, the size, you know, I think he's 6'11 with like a 7'5 wingspan, something ridiculous.
We like wingspans.
And I mean, just an absolute beast. He's, you know, and people compare him to Adebayo because they kind of look alike. I agree. He's probably more. I mean, if it's pop, he's maybe a tiny bit more athletic than, I don't know, about be the same athlete, but he's bigger. So look, he looks more athletic than Adebayo. But he doesn't have the intangibles that Adebayo has, where the high IQ, the defensive prowess. That's like a whole nother level for Adebayo. I think he has more offensive upside. You know, I've seen him hit. You know, he can hit J's. You know what I'm saying? He didn't take any threes in college at all. He took zero threes. But I've seen him, you know, take turnaround jumpers, take mid ranges. The form looks good, so I think that you can tap into that. Now, if you have an opportunity to get Ayton and you have to give up Durant, I think you do that because Ayton is just more of a sure thing. He's further along in the process, and like you said, Gerard, he's still young too. So I think that'd be a no-brainer. But if they have to live with Durant, I think that's not a bad situation at all.
Yeah, if you can get Ayton and put him on a team, he's already had deep playoff run experience, finals experience. I like Gerard mentioned, I think that'll be good. And it's funny, in all that Detroit Pistons talent that everybody was talking about, nobody mentioned Marvin Bagley III, former number two overall pick.
And there's a reason
like
for
him.
That.
No, I still like him. He came up – one of the reasons I was betting on Detroit late last season because he actually came to life and was doing
– He
was
did.
Doing something. Remember where he was, right?
Sacramento.
So what are we talking about? You know what I'm saying? Why are we even holding that against him?
I don't know. I mean,
we didn't even want good players to go there in this draft.
I mean, Sacramento is a dumpster fire of an organization. Everyone knows it. They're 15th head coach.
Speaking of that real quick, and we don't have to spend too much time on this because it is Sacramento. Did you like Keegan Murray Murph going to Sacramento? Do you think he helped him, or is he doomed like Marvin Bagley III was?
Well, if anybody's not doomed, it'll be Keegan Murray. So, because I wouldn't have passed up on Ivy either, but I get it. I get why Sacramento would pass up on him because, you know, Ivy has some concerns and they're more like, you know, will he be, you know, like, can a coach get him to do the, can the coach mold him in the right way? That type of thing. Can we get him to do what he needs to do, like intellectually think through the game and that kind of stuff. He still has some things to figure out and Sacramento's probably not the best place to figure those things out. Plus you have guys similar kind of games with Fox, like guys who want to get to the hole and stuff like that. So I understand. Whereas Keegan Murray, I mean, he surprised me. When I went back and looked at the stats, and I was just looking at these stats for Keegan Murray at Iowa, and he's a good athlete, solid athlete. This dude had a PER of 37.8. Okay, he averaged 24 points and 9 rebounds, shot 40% from three, 55% overall. This guy was like super, super efficient.
How many attempts from three?
How many attempts for three? He had that was his freshman year. This year he had 5 attempts from three. Shooting them. He had 16 attempts per game, shot attempts per game in Perry, which is super high for college, for all these college guys. That might have been the most out of all these guys that went lottery. So he might work for them because he's less, you know, you need to do less things for him. He knows how to get a bucket. He can get easy baskets. He gets baskets in all kinds of different ways. He's versatile, and he can play the four. That might have been a smart move, but it's just tough to pass up on a possible generational talent like Ivy.
What's his wingspan? He's 6'8". What's his wingspan?
I'm not sure.
Because if he's in that 7-foot range, woo boy.
Well, I mean, you said it might have been hard for them, you know, to pass upon a generational talent like Ivy. It could have been a mistake, but we've seen them pass upon a generational talent. They did it with Luka Doncic. So, you know, kings go on kings.
And nobody on the Sacramento Kings roster is ever getting a whoo boy out of me. I don't care who they are. So it's not since Peja Stojakovic probably.
Damn,
that far back.
Not even C-Web was getting a woo boy out of you.
Wasn't he after? No, Peja was at the same time. No, I love Peja and C-Web. So, like, yeah, but ever since then, it's like, you know,
Yeah, they Sacramento.
They have honorary Puerto Rican Mike Bibby too. So.
Yo, Mike. Yo.
Here we go.
Yo,
please know, people, how he did not say any honorary Puerto Rican for his boy Jonathan Isaac. None of that came out.
Jonathan, he ain't claiming that one. I don't blame him. I don't want to claim him either.
Shit, I don't see him repping. Well, you know what I'm saying?
He's repping. Just a different kind of people he's repping for. He's repping for a different kind of people.
Yeah, that's what we don't want to associate with. No, those Bibby photos, though, I'm like, dog, what, are you a professional bodybuilder now? Like, what the?
Yo,
also,
I saw
him. Murray Aaron.
I was with you, Brian, when we saw him.
We saw him at Geico Nationals. He was coaching, right?
I was there with you.
Coaching Shadow Mountain or some shit.
Yeah, yeah. He was jacked.
He's brolic. Whoa. Here's the thing. He couldn't do that in the NBA. People would probably be like, oh, why is he like that now? It's like, you can't play in the NBA with that.
No, not with arms like that. You can't play in the league.
That's why I need Desmond Bane to chill out. You know what I'm saying? Like,
shout to my boy Desmond Bane.
The Knicks got somebody yesterday in the second round from Duke also. I'm forgetting his name.
Does Bane really have short arms? Does it just look like that because he's deep?
So he's not like a plus like 8. On the wingspan, right? I think he's like 6'4", maybe a 6'6". So he's like a little bit, but like not a plus 2. But I know he got to chill with them football workouts. I'm like Desmond. No, I just need you to be hitting 42% from 3. Thank you. I don't need you to be worrying about fucking, you know, brolic arms out here in these streets.
And getting back to Keegan Murray quick. He also averaged 2 blocks. So I'm not sure what his wingspan is, but 6'8", right. Averaged 2 blocks a game.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the kid did everything. And, you know, he is a very good athlete from just watching him. Like, it's not like he's like, you know, he did this just because he's in college. He did make it look easy at times. So that might be,
but
we'll see. That might be a good pick.
But he is in Sacramento. That's it. He is in Sacramento.
What about Mike Brown? Can Mike Brown do, you know, do a little Cleveland Cavalier magic?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see.
It's not going to sound great when I say this, but I'd probably feel a little bit better if they moved De'Aaron Fox instead of Tyrese Halliburton. So,
well, I mean, I agree. De'Aaron Fox is overrated. I'm just
I've been saying this. I'm with Gerard. I'm going to go that far.
Gerard, you would not like Domas Sabonis. And, yeah, you know, him and De'Aaron Fox, I mean, we'll see.
But it's easy to call these dudes at Sacramento overrated. They're in a terrible situation. We'll see. We'll see if Mike Brown can change the culture. I'm not sure about that. We'll see. But I just can't call these dudes, like, who have major talent and I see skill in them. I can't call them overrated yet because they haven't really had a real chance.
Seeing if Mike Brown could bring over some of that Golden State Warriors magic.
I don't know about all that. I'm just asking for like some Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah, you went too far. Gerard went too far with his ass. All right, we got to talk about what we came here to talk about at the top of the show. I know a friend of the show, Greg, is waiting for this moment.
We are the New York Knicks. We are the Sorry.
Come on, man. I do
fucking hate that song.
You remember that shit? Oh, that's yo, people was wilding when that song used to come on.
You talking about the Go New York, Go New York Go?
Yeah.
Nah, man, that shit still slaps, man.
I told you, see?
But just that part, I don't like the whole, we are the New York Knicks. That part's a little whack. Yeah, when it gets to the Go New York Go, I can get behind that.
They need a better build up to get to that.
Yes, they need a better build up to get there. That's what I
can like. Greg, song is trash.
Greg said the song is trash. Well, you know what a lot of Knicks fans think was trash? The draft last night. Because the Knicks didn't draft anybody in the first round. They traded away their picks. In fact, they traded 4 second rounders and a first round pick, and they got 3 four future picks, 3 from the OKC Thunder that all have protections on them. Yo, Gerard, I called you.
You start. Don't toss it to anybody else.
Oh, man. Y'all want me to start?
Isolation.
You want me to start?
Yes. I'm going to the corner, bro. Go ahead.
He said I'm going to the corner, bro.
Okay. All right. I'm going to speak for the rational Knicks fans out there. That's what I'm going to attempt.
How many of them exist? Like 1%? 2%?
A little more than that, but you know, not
a little bit more. Okay,
I'm learning though. Fan bases don't have rational.
Yeah, and I'm learning. I'm starting to agree with Brian about these Nets fans because when I see these Nets fans talking about Kyrie, I'm like, yo, Yo, are you serious? Like what?
Yeah,
Vinny Goodwill's piece on Yahoo, people.
Yes, very good piece.
Shout out to Vinny Goodwill.
Very good piece. Shout out to Vinny Goodwill. Okay, the Knicks. All right, guys. The Knicks don't draft anybody yesterday. And, you know, I talked with Gerard. I talked with several other people around covering the Knicks, different things about that. I think there's many ways to look at this before you jump off the ledge, okay? A lot of the talk is that they did all this. They cleared cap space. They got Kemba Walker up out of here. They admitted that was a mistake. They got some picks. They have 11 picks, first-round picks over the next 7 years, 11 second-round picks over the next 7 years. That's fine. Anybody who knows me knows that I'm like, picks are nice. They're cool. They're good assets to have. What matters is what you do with them. This is a point that both Murph and Gerard made in the show that I agree with. What matters here is what the Knicks do. There's a lot of talk about the Knicks going all in for Jalen Brunson. I like Jalen Brunson. I think Jalen Brunson's a very good player. Everybody's smiling and laughing. You cannot see them on the screen right now because they know a butt is coming. And yes, a butt is coming, right? I just don't feel like this is the dude you go all in for. Do you need an upgraded point guard? Absolutely, they do. Which is why I myself, a lot of Knicks fans, I think wanted Jaden Ivey. The Knicks, from everything I've heard from people who really know this, did everything they could to go and get Jaden Ivey. It just didn't work out. Sometimes that happens. Detroit valued Jaden Ivey. I don't blame him. I wouldn't give him up either, right? You'd have to move heaven and earth for me to get him. Doesn't mean the Knicks didn't try. Fine. Jalen Brunson, and I'm going to even defer to Murph more on this because Murph watches the college game and the progression of these dudes more. Jalen Brunson is not Jaden Ivey. I do not think he has the ceiling of Jaden Ivey. I don't think he'll be as good as Jalen Ivey. I think he could help the Knicks and be good. I'm not anti the Knicks getting Brunson. I want to be clear. I'm anti them getting him if that's their only move for this season. Now, if somehow the Knicks are able to take these picks and then shed other salary, if they can move the contract of a Randall, maybe a Fournier, maybe moving Burks or Noel and attach them some of these picks, because that's what it's going to take, folks, for them to move it. They're not going to be able to do that without it. And then they say, we're going to go sign a Brunson and we're going to play the kids. Barrett, IQ, Cam Reddish, Obi Toppin, bring back Mitchell Robinson and go all in on that. Here's somebody who's here for that. I am. Because it'll be the first time since I've been watching the Knicks that they went all in on a youth movement. I'm here for that. Then that would truly speak to what Leon Rose said in the statement, because he wouldn't speak to the media. It would truly speak to him going in and actually developing. How do you see players develop, Gerard? I'm going to bring Gerard up on the screen here. How does that happen?
Playing time.
They got to play. They got to hit the court. That would be nice. I'm going to tell you what I don't want to see. And we got to look at Brian Fonseca's face for this. I don't want to see no Kyrie Irving up in MSG. We don't need that. Hotep handles, no thank you. No thank you. Okay? We don't need that. If you're going to make this move, and I'll turn it over to everybody else, if you're going to make this move, if you're going to clear the cap space, and you're going to keep Jalen Brunson, who is on the timeline of the younger Knicks on this roster, that is fine. But then go get rid of the dead salary. It's okay to admit that you made a mistake in signing Kemba Walker. It's okay to admit that you made a mistake in Evan Fournier. We've seen other teams do this before. Remember, Brian, you remember when the Miami Heat, your team, signed Hassan Whiteside and Deion Waiters and Tyler Johnson, and none of that worked out? What did Pat Riley go and do? Man, we're going to get off those contracts. We're going to get rid of these dudes and move on. If the Knicks are doing that, oh, I'm all in on that. That's fine. It's not a failure, and they can still get assets and build throughout the years. They got the Mavs pick next year. They got their own pick. If one of these picks convey, most likely the Denver pick will convey. It's not terrible, but it's about what you do with these picks. And if you can get off of the salary and you build around this young core, then it's fine. If you're just going to add Jalen Brunson to bring him back Evan Fournier and Julius Randle, who might block time for the young guys on this roster, nah, then it ain't good. That's so, my rant.
It feels to me like they're just going to package these picks and try to get a star, Donovan Mitchell or somebody else, and then use cap space to try to sign somebody else. Like it seems to me like they're gonna try to be aggressive like now, if not very soon. And I don't know if that's misguided, because I was saying I don't feel like they're ready for a Donovan Mitchell move, even though I feel like they do have the pieces to try to do it. I don't think they're like on that schedule, especially if they're going to trade RJ Barrett, which I don't think they should do at all. I think RJ Barrett and Obi Toppin will be off limits for me. Otherwise, go ahead. But I don't know, man. I was surprised to see them trade out entirely and not at least try to get like even Johnny Davis, who went right before them at 11, who I think would have been interesting. Jalen Duren in the event that Mitchell Robinson wasn't going to resign, and now it looks like they might just run it back to some degree. Like, I was very surprised at what they did in the draft. I like that they got future first round picks, but I don't know what to do with them. And I'm with Dexter. Like, can you trust them to sort of make the right move here? And after the last few years, and I kind of agree with Greg, you should give up if you get Kyrie Irving. Honestly, like,
I'm done. I'll be done. I'll say it right now on the show. That happens, I'm out.
So I will say this. If you forego your Knicks fandom, which, by the way, everyone listening to the show should know, I, Gerard Hector, am a proponent of adults, adult human beings, not being beholden to shitty franchises who treat them poorly.
Huh. I thought this was like we live in a society like that bit.
Nah. you can quit your childhood team and find a new team. It is okay. There's nothing wrong
with it. Dexter's already done this in football.
Exactly.
He's a veteran of this.
You're not a front runner, whatever. So I will welcome you onto the Memphis Grizzlies train, Dex, if you want to join me over there.
I'm not quite ready to go there yet, but I'm close.
You come right over to Heat culture, baby. You know what I'm saying?
That is never happening, but go ahead.
Now, real quick, I will say this. All signs point towards the Knicks making a move for Jalen Brunson. William Wesley, who along with Leon Rose run the Knicks and has a lot of influence on that team in terms of decision making, William Wesley and Rick Brunson and Leon Rose go back. And when I say back, I mean way back. William Wesley has probably known Jalen Brunson since he was born. That whole area, that Camden High School, right, where Rick Brunson was the coach. By the way, that team was about to win a national championship, I think, with younger Wagner, DJ Wagner, all that. But all of a sudden, Rick Brunson's now the head coach of, or not head coach, excuse me, assistant coach of the New York Knicks. That's family for William Wesley, right? Like, it's not just like when, you know, oh, it's my brother. No. When we say family, like, they mean family. And so I believe that he is going to try to get his adopted son, godson, whatever, Jalen Brunson onto this team. Now, Knicks fans, don't freak out. They ain't paying him no max deal. But if he's going to command somewhere in the Fred VanVleet range, there's what, 20 to 25 million, Brian? Something like that?
I think Fred VanVleet got 4 for $90.
Okay.
I think that's what he got.
A little bit over 20.
There are rumors saying that Jalen Brunson could see like 100 for 4 years.
Either way, we're talking $20 to $25 million.
Yeah.
To me, and you know how I feel about small guards, that is a lot of money to pay for that small guard. This ain't prime Chris Paul we talking about. This ain't right. This is Jalen Brunson. Okay. Right. He's a very good player, but he's the player you get when you're already knocking on that. Ooh, we're in the playoffs and we can. Oh, not. Yeah.
Like that final piece.
Yes. What's he going to get you? 2 extra wins? For what? Well, you might as well just do what you're doing. What is that going to do for you?
And he's small and slow. He's not an athlete. I know he is a lot like VanVleet. He made himself a player. Yes, he is very valuable, but it does bother me that you know, in Dallas, where he had to be the second option. They didn't have many options there to score besides Luka. And now he's Mr., you know, put up 15 to 20 shots. And I wouldn't want that. If I'm the Knicks, if he morphs more into, you know, pass first, because he is very smart and I think he's capable of that. But even at Villanova, he wasn't really a high assist guy. So a guy like that, not so athletic, he gets every ounce of talent he can out of that body. And you know, now he's thinking he's a scorer. I don't know. And then, you know, like you said, Dex, the amount of things that they're doing for that to be the move, right? I think all those picks and all that stuff, they got all those picks from what it sounds like, was in order to make room for him so they can give some of those picks away and get rid of Noel and Burks. You know what I'm saying? Like, so they can give these to teams to take those other guys to clear up the rest of that space just to get Jalen Brunson. I don't.
Yeah, there you go. That's the point. Did you hear? Did you hear what you just? Did you hear what you just said, Murph? Mm-hmm. Murph hit the nail on the head right there. Murph is saying you were doing all this and giving all these picks away to get Jalen Brunson.
Right.
Jalen Brunson, guys. I'm not saying Jalen Brunson's no bum.
He is good.
Right. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying he ain't that dude. He ain't moving heaven and earth good. He's not that guy. And it better damn sure not be Hotep Handles, because we know he might not show up and play. We know this. So what I'm saying here is, if you're going to move, you got to move for somebody that good. When we're talking about Jalen Brunson, you know what we're talking about, guys? He's the kind of guy, to Gerard's point. And Brian, we know you like the small guys, so this is no disrespect to that. But he's the kind of guy that, like, hey, if he was bigger, he'd be – yo – when you have to say that about the kind of player, he's not that guy. That's all I'm saying.
Yo, but it's true, though, because here's the thing. And here's what Dex, I actually want to ask you this question.
Sure.
So keep us all on the screen. So you have RJ Barrett there. Jalen Brunson's a fellow lefty. Gerard's not going to like this, but one of the things he does really well is post up other guards.
No, and I'm sure. Okay with small guys. That's okay. I just don't want to see 18 times a fucking game. Like, what are we doing?
No, but I'm saying, I don't know how a 6'1" guard, who is very efficient scorer, by the way, but a 6'1" guard who, you know, posts up a lot in isolation plays is going to help RJ Barrett a ton. Granted, he's good shooting, like getting out of the post, but like it's just weird and clunky. They're both lefties, which I guess is good. Mm-hmm. But like I'm not sure. To Murph's point, because I looked at the assists, because I didn't remember him being a big assist guy either at Villanova. It was usually like around 4, 4.5 per game. Those last couple of years, very efficient, like 40% from three, 50%+ from the field. That's what he is in the NBA. But that's also playing next to Luka Doncic. If he goes to New York,
you ain't got nobody like Luka Doncic on New York.
The volume is going to get turned up on shots. The field goal percentage and 3-point percentage, all that will probably drop. So
here's another thing.
I would feel better about this, honestly, if the play is you're going to use some of the picks and other players to potentially get Donovan Mitchell and also sign Jalen Brunson. Then it's like, okay, I don't love that either. But, hey, that's something. You have a 1, you have a 2, you have a 3 with RJ Barrett. Obi, you could re-sign Mitch or figure out who's going to play center, Jericho Sims. And it's like, okay, that's something that you can roll into this coming season with. But if this is all only for Jalen Brunson, who I like very much and think Dallas might still actually keep amid
Dallas
all of this.
Dallas wants to keep him.
Then I don't know. And I think for Jalen Brunson's sake, he actually makes more sense in Dallas. But if New York is going to give you that bag, then, you know.
Look, here's the reality. You put size on Jalen Brunson, it's over.
Yeah, because he doesn't have.
Wait, what's he gonna do? He ain't gonna do nothing.
To Murph's point, because he doesn't have world class speed.
What's he gonna
which
do?
Which is part of why he's figured out his post up game so much. But at the same time, like again, him not being next to Luka Doncic, I have some questions. As much as I, do.
Those questions are legit. That's I think those questions,
especially if he's going to get like $100 million, like. The money is a big thing, because if you're giving him 4 years, 80, it's like, oh, okay, that's perfectly reasonable. Like,
I mean, I might do 4 years and like 60.
No, but in this market, like 80, I was like, okay, like that could, but 100.
But see, all $80 million contracts are not equal. It's the point that you guys made before, that I think Gerard made before. If this is somebody you're giving an $80 million contract to, that's the last piece to an already established team. It cool. feels different.
He
the Knicks ain't there. The Knicks ain't there. They're not close to there. I mean,
Dex, Greg is questioning $80 million. Look, Jalen Brunson, he's going to get more.
Oh, he's going to get that. Dex, listen, you know, because we talked about this off air. You and I think I said it on this show or on many shows we've done together. You know where the Knicks messed up. You know the move that they did that got them on this path. Why they're here right now.
Yeah, I know. I know what I'll let you say it. I know what you're going to say.
When you had Julius Randle making all NBA level, that was the time to move him. Sell high. You are now stuck with Julius Randle on what's he got left? 4 years and what? Over 100 something?
Over 100.
Over 100.
106, 112, I don't know.
Who wants him in the NBA?
Sacramento.
Who wants the contract?
Shit. Sacramento. If Sacramento wanted him, I think they would have got the fourth.
Then ship him out of there. If they then send him there right now. Like, literally drive him to the airport and get back all this. They don't even want him. That's so now everything is about shit. Okay. How do we work ourselves around it? You could have signed and traded him last year, right? Like, even with coming off the bad postseason, still would have worked. Because the team would have been like, you know what? He had a great season. He was all NBA, blah, 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 blah. Oh.
all that, like shushing the New York crowd, giving them the finger. I'm like, yo, this is bad. And the longer he's there, Obi Toppin, who I've been screaming about, he's getting no playing time. What? Why did you draft Obi in the first place? Why is he here if he ain't going to play? What's he doing?
This is my thing. There's a way this can actually be okay. I'm still going to go back to my point. If the plan, because I want to read what Gerard said at the top for everybody again from Leon Rose and the Knicks, who will not bring Leon Rose in front of the, he will not come in front of the media and talk. I think God it's ridiculous. Forbid. I think it's ridiculous. I just texted with some people who covered the Knicks, and one person said to me, this is the team going all in for Jalen Brunson, which.
The fact that they won't address the media. Yes. Every team has had a postseason exit. These fools won't even talk to media. And the NBA is like, all right, cool. Knicks, do whatever you want. We don't care.
I'm going to have to share some stuff with y'all that I know about the inner workings of them not talking to the media and how everybody's heard about how they handle
things. Immediately after we're done with this.
Please. Yes. There's some things I know that I'm like, okay. I've also heard the major problem. What I'll say in a way for other people to understand, if you want to look at the problems and everything that we're talking about here, you got to look right at the top. Just like any other organization.
We know this.
You got to look right there, just like any other organization. Now, Gerard pointed out earlier, okay, from this statement. Last night, we made three trades involving draft picks, which resulted in increased financial flexibility and additional draft capital moving forward. Yay. We now have a total of 22 picks, 11 in the first round, 11 in the second round. Over the next 7 years, we have the ability to be active in free agency as well as the trade market. Notice that's the first thing they talk about here. Our focus will remain to be strategic and thoughtful in our own team building, doing it the right way. What is that? What, like, can we ask a real question? What has the Knicks ever shown you since the 90s that they know about doing it the right way? Right?
And like, yo, can we be honest about the 90s? They got fucking lucky. Let's just be honest.
Okay. Well, you need luck. You say that all the time, Gerard. You need luck.
But damn. Right? But damn.
Okay.
I think they were also onto something in, you know, that early 2010s run, but then they ended up mismanaging that also.
Ooh, with Melo?
Because they actually made they had the veterans, they had things in place. They could have sustained that for a little bit longer, but then they fired the GM the year after.
Well, when you go make the trade for Bargnani, it didn't sustain. I just want to read the last part of the statement, which is one thing that I think what Gerard is saying could give you hope, right? If you look at how they put this together, they said, our focus remained to be strategic, thoughtful in our team building, doing it the right way, while feeding off the momentum from the end of last season, prioritizing our player development program. Now, there are some Knicks fans that could reasonably have been excited about the end of last season, but what did you see at the end of last season, guys? And what you saw at the end of last season was young players playing on the court. So if you're really about continuing that, then what that tells me is you got to get young players playing on the court, which is why I said, if the plan is to unload some of these salaries and let these young kids play, and you have the cap flexibility, then I'm fine. I'm fine if that's the plan. But here's the thing, guys. Why can't y'all just come out and say that? Why can't you just come out and be direct? All y'all putting this out through a tweet? This is what we're doing? Like, just come out and be like, hey, you know what? We're going to try to compete. We might not be that good next year. You don't got to say nothing about playoffs. You ain't got to be in your Jim Mora. You ain't got to say that. Just say, look, we going all in on the young guys. Knicks fans are smart. They can handle it. It's fine. People will accept it. People just want to know what the plan is. That's all.
And also,
we don't know what the plan is.
And also, like, I also get the hoarding of draft picks, if you want to call it that. But like, damn, they could have traded back, maybe get an extra pick and actually get one or two guys from this draft, I felt like, in the first round, instead of just a second round pick they got. I floated in our chat. I was like, what if they got back to like 1920 or something like that and pick up Ty Washington? You know
still
what I mean?
Money,
like,
still money.
That's the answer, Murph. That's the answer.
That's the thing too. But I think
they're clearing it for your boy.
But here's the thing: Ty fell to the second round. You could have gotten him, and because that's what teams. I thought a bunch of teams were going to do this. A lot fewer of them than I thought actually did this. But usually, when you're going to clear cap, you would do what the Knicks do: trade out of the first round. I thought like Miami was going to do that. I thought the Clippers were going to do that. I thought like, you know, actual teams that we expect to compete, like Denver, I thought they were going to do that with all their first round picks. But because then you could get creative with the second round picks. And that's this last year with Kessler Edwards. They drafted him 44 overall. They signed him to a two-way contract. And they didn't even sign him to a standard contract.
By the way, Kessler Edwards,
they got kills. in the second round.
Kessler Edwards, who could be a very actually useful piece on this roster if the Nets stop listening to fucking Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. But, you know.
But, yeah, I think the Knicks should have, like, done more with the actual draft. And I agree with Dex. Like, just give a more clear cut. Just talk to the media. I won't even say, like, yo, like, give the entire plan because there are 29 other teams who, like, you know, probably will.
Have a presser. At least the other teams have pressers. Say something.
Right. Have a press conference. I was looking yesterday. There were GMs and presidents or whatever. When we covered the Nets, Sean Marks, after every draft, he'll talk or whatever the case may be. Saw Pat Riley do it yesterday. So I think Troy Weaver addressed the media also. Like, you know,
this is not what they do. I'll get into why. We gotta wrap this up here. The last thing I will say though is I just saw this. Ian Begley, you know, he does a show, The Putback, with SNY, and he said, quote, "I do not think the Knicks will be making a trade like they did last night without some kind of high confidence that Jalen Brunson is coming."
Yo, what the fuck?
Yeah, like, they have his father on the coaching staff.
I just laid it out for you. I gave you all the points. And the Wesley, Rose, Brunson connection.
But he's that's the thing. There. It's like
he's coming.
But that's the problem. It's like the goal is not to win a championship. It's just let's make
to have friends happy on the bench.
It's just
to have godson on the team. This is what we're doing.
They want to make the playoffs.
That's and also, like, CAA is basically, you know, has their hands in the organization, as y'all know. So it's
we knew that.
It's CAA East is the next. We know that.
Yeah. Look, so it's
here's
it's,
the
yeah.
reality, man. Isn't even to your point, Brian? It's not about championships, right? We know that. It's winning it's a 1-30 odds. Getting there's 2-30. Most teams, you're not going to get to the finals or win it. That's just the reality.
Mm-hmm. Yo,
correct. Here's what you need to do though. Build a roster and a franchise that gives you a chance to compete every year, make the playoffs, and in those good years, when luck, Dexter, as I mentioned earlier, when luck happens, oh, now we got a shot. That's all. That's all any fan base wants. And with this team, explain to me how Jalen Brunson at $25 million a year with what you have right now gets you to that point.
There you go. There you go. Does it. Now, if you go and do that, and like I said, and then you have cap space, and you don't have to use that cap space all this year. That's fine. I don't even care about that. I just want to know that there's a plan. This is the last, I keep saying it. Show me a plan. If the plan is to play the kids, I'm fine with that. Right. That's cool, because if they get Jalen Brunson and they play the kids, then you won't see me mad. If they get Julius Randle out of here, if they get Fournier out of here, and they use those picks to get those guys out of here, and they still have the cap flexibility, that's a plan. And that's something fans can get behind, because you might say, you know what, that team might be a 30 to 35 win next team next year, but they're going to play hard. They're going to build the culture up around these young dudes, and they're going to get better. Some of them already have some playoff experience. I actually don't think the Knicks situation's that bad if they manage it competently. But to Gerard's point, there's only a handful of organizations that do that, and we damn sure haven't seen the Knicks do that. So I can't blame – I'll let you go, Brian, 1 second. Yeah. I can't blame fans for being like, what the hell are the Knicks doing? Because here's the big thing. None of us know because they don't talk to us. They tell us stuff through a tweet. We don't know shit. All the good organizations, they talk to their fans. They know what's going on. We don't know shit.
Yo, I mean, this is a bad example because, you know, they are who they are and they just won. But remember years ago, Joey Lightyears told you all, Joe Lega, we are light years ahead of all other organizations. Everybody was laughing. Ha ha. Arrogance, hubris. He's motherfucking. Seems like he knew what he was talking about, right? He said, we're going to win now and we're going to win in the future. Well, timeline seems to be working out.
And they're gonna pay that luxury tax.
And guess what? As long as they win, he cool with that.
And they got Kuminga and Moody and James Wiseman. We'll see. Like, they got other shit coming. So you can do both. It's very difficult. You can do both.
But you can
the
do it.
The icing on the cake to ruin Dexter's night is that one of his actual favorite prospects in the draft, someone who think is going to be a top 10 player from this draft class, fell all the way to 27. And was drafted by the Heat, the Miami Heat. And I was sure that they were going to trade this pick. I'm like, there's no way they're keeping this pick. There's no way they're keeping this pick. I hopped on the 5RSN stream, and it looks like for the time being and for at least the immediate future, they are keeping this pick. And that's Nikola Jokic, who people are going to confuse with Nikola Jokic. This is a totally different dude. And Dex, I mean, look. I know it's annoying.
Yeah, but like, you're hoping you catch lightning in the bottle, and you hope he's like 1/10 the player Jokic is.
Like, well, let me tell you this. There, like, look, Nikola Jovic is a really interesting prospect. I'm going to tell you just 2 minutes about him. He's 6'11", 220, 225-ish, or whatever the case may be. Super talented offensively. He's kind of like Hiru Turkoglu with a little bit more athleticism. There's probably some Danilo Gallinari in there, maybe some Kelly Olynyk. You know what I mean? Like, there's some offensive versatility there. Could put the ball on the floor at his height, could shoot threes, could play make. You have questions about his defense. He's in an environment where, you know, if he can't play defense, they'll figure out what to do with him. One, two key awards. The ABA League Top Prospect Award winner for 2022. This was award won by Dario Saric in 2014 and Nikola Jokic in 2015. Mm-hmm. And also Jonah Bolden in 2017. So some good names there. And also got recognition in the NBA GM survey before last season, before he even won that award for best international player not in the NBA. He was like on other, like fifth or sixth or something like that on others receiving votes. This kid is going to be pretty good, and I think he's in the perfect environment for him. I'm shocked that they kept the pick because I thought they were going to trade out, preserve some money because they have some things they're going to do. But I thought the Knicks could have even got somebody like him.
But here's the thing, though. That ties into exactly what you said. You just hit the nail on the head, Brian. He's in the perfect environment for him to do that. New York ain't no perfect environment for him to do that. Because, my question is, what is your player development plan and program? Please, can someone tell me?
Because
I don't know. I know what the Miami Heat is. Like, they brag about it all the time.
It's, it's a little weird. But like when you see him, because it was a pick out of left field. Like they usually don't draft guys like
that. No, it was not out of left field. But that's where you're wrong. It was not out of left field.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
Absolutely not out of left field.
They picked him, and it's like, oh, you can see. Like, you could see him playing next to Bam in 2 years.
But, Brian, the reason why you're feeling that way is because you know he's going to a place, hashtag Heat culture, that it's either if he don't make it, it ain't going to be because they didn't try to help him make it. It's going to be because he doesn't want it.
And in talking about guys addressing the media, Pat Riley basically said after the fact, like, we didn't love any of the deals we were offered, and we decided to take the guy with the best upside.
I will say this before we close. You talked about him helping next in 2 years. No, sir. He will be helping next year. The Miami Heat need help on offense. He can help them on offense. He will help them offense. And I will go out on a limb and say this. He will be mentioned in the Rookie of the Year race.
Wow.
I'm going to go out and say that. People are going to be mad they passed on him.
Dex, you are a believer in hashtag Heat culture? Is that what you are saying on this here podcast? Have we come around to the point where you know what? I've been trying to subterfuge it all along. I got to give him props.
You know how you stay on brand with the Celtics? Uh-huh. I'm going to stay on brand with this. That's what he said.
Look,
that's
what they made rotation players out of Max Strus and Gabe Vincent.
I'm obviously joking, but the Heat do a tremendous job with their culture, and like, no, I respect the way they pick and they target players, and they're gonna look at who fits. And Riley is no dummy. Okay.
Yeah.
Jovic will have an impact on that team. I'm not saying how good he will be, but I'd be shocked if he's not getting minutes and helping them offensively, because the Heat, they need some help offensively. They're tough to watch.
He might not be in the playoff rotation, but he might not be in the playoff rotation. But
oh, he'll help in the regular season.
Yeah, he'll help in the regular season for now because he's a rookie. Gerard, and he's your type of dude. Like, again, 6'11", could put the ball on the floor, could pass, could shoot. Like, I'm telling you. You watch some of his stuff, you'll be intrigued.
Right, you act like I haven't seen tape. I already seen tape. You know my basketball love language. Tall dudes, you can shoot and put the ball on the floor.
Yeah, so Jovic, thumbs up.
There he goes, thumbs up. All right, we got to get out of here. Murph and I got to go pick up kids from camp and school and stuff like that. We got to do that. Thanks, everybody, for watching, listening. Appreciate it. Hope y'all enjoyed the NBA draft coverage. We didn't even get to winners or losers. We didn't even get to how Gerard was excited about his Memphis Grizzlies and then adding some people. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But listen. We are probably going to do a show for you guys next week. Free agency starts. We'll probably do something where all of us talk about that. And then at some point shortly after free agency starts, I'll be probably pissed off with the Knicks not having a plan. So that's what we'll probably see. You know, that's probably going to happen.
Kyrie might get moved. That might happen.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about that. We'll talk about that another time. I know Murph's going to have a lot to say.
Keep him in Brooklyn and send him to the Lakers. I don't want to see anything else.
We should see that. Here's Brian Fonseca. I'm Dex Henry. Thanks to our guests, Gerard Hector, Jamal Murphy. Appreciate y'all. Until next time, y'all. Peace.